Your gut is where the decisions are made. Your gut is where you have that intuition. And what happens is people start overthinking decisions, and that's what creates paralysis. So work like meditation, work like breathing, work like walking, doing exercise, doing some kind of creating some kind of routine that gives you a peace of mind and gets that anxiety out is absolutely critical.
Life is better when you breathe. Welcome to The Breathing Edge, the podcast where we share tips, techniques, biohacks, and interviews to help you achieve peak performance in all areas of your life.
If you truly want to get the edge in life, you can find it right here at The Breathing Edge. And now we are your hosts, Shane and Angelina Saunders.
Welcome to The Breathing Edge podcast. Today, we're really excited. We have a special guest on our show today who we met at in Bali while attending a Mind Valley Awesomeness Fest. So I'd like to introduce to you Vera Anderson. So she's from Global Elements Consulting. She's a performance coach and a strategist. And Vera, I'm just going to go straight into this, and I'm going to ask you, who do you help, and how do you get the most out of that, out of your working with your clients?
Absolutely. Well, my passion is helping people double their performance. And if I ask anyone, and I have traveling and working around the world, would you like to increase your performance? The answer is always yes, in one area of their life or another. I specialize in working with CEOs, business owners, entrepreneurs, fund managers, people who are in a very high demand, high stress environment, and they have to perform. So for them, it's not a luxury. It's not a choice. They have to perform or there are significant consequences.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's high stakes type of environments, right? When you're talking, you know, funds management and even at the CEOs, I mean, what I was... You often see these numbers a lot, but CEO burnout and CEO turnover, you know, because, you know, in my mind, I've obviously, you know, we've shared the role of CEO in our own business, but in a bigger business, you know, you're the pin the tail on the donkey when you're in that spot, aren't you? Like, you know, if something happens, everyone throws the darts at you. So it is a high stakes type of thing. And, you know, we know that burnout is a big issue amongst those people.
Yeah. Now, Vera, can you give me an example just from your experience and who you've worked with? Like, what are some of the examples that of someone who's had some really big shifts and how you've got them there?
So the biggest shifts, I would say, have to do with focus.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a couple of components, especially if we're talking about impacting performance. Focus is one of them. Making good decisions and the quality of decisions is another. Energy management is a huge one, because if you're feeling exhausted, if you haven't slept for the last week because you're running yourself ragged and you haven't exercised, you're not eating right, you're going to crash. Your performance is not going to be that great if you're still up at 2 or 3 in the morning trying to get a project out or trying to finalize something for a presentation. It's just not going to help you. And so being able to manage your energy levels, being able to make good decisions consistently, especially when there's a lot of big decisions you have to make, people tend to stagnate or procrastinate about them. So I help people break those down into smaller chunks so that way you can step through the decision-making process instead of being stuck looking at, oh my God, I have to change everything about my business, or, oh my God, I need to change everything about my life. Well, you don't. You need to take one step at a time. And what we started with the focus, we have so many distractions nowadays. And they come from everywhere, right? You have your phone, you have your social media, you have people you have to be in front of, you have meetings. as a CEO, you're also responsible for being a member of a community and being on charities and participating on boards and supporting other entrepreneurs and being responsible to the shareholders. So, and employees. So you have it, you know, you have this distraction, if you will, coming out from all angles. And what happens often is people start spinning in that firefighting mode and they lose their focus. So what I do with my clients is I help them redefine what is that vision, what is that beacon that they're going towards. And then we create a filtering system on top of it. So that way it's very easy for them to say, this shiny thing is going to help me to my goal, but this shiny thing is not. So I'm going to leave it alone.
I love that. So focusing on what's going to move the needle the most.
Yeah, we have in our work too, and you may notice is we have a thing about focus, and we believe that focus starts from the physical body. We believe that, you know, if you've got red flags going off in the body, in your health, and you know your body is where the rubber meets the road, kind of thing. You know, like we often see, and you can comment on this. We often see that when people lose focus or when they're scattered, the first place they'll try and go to is mindset, or I've got to try and think my way out of it, or I've got to do something, and I think they miss a vital piece of the puzzle. When it comes to the body.
Me too.
So if you just comment on that, Vera, what have you seen there, and what's been your experience around that as well?
I try to, in the most kind and affectionate way, to chop off my client's head and bring them back into their body.
Yeah.
I love that.
Your gut is where the decisions are made. Your gut is where you have that intuition. And what happens is people start overthinking decisions, and that's what creates paralysis.
Yeah.
So work like meditation, work like breathing, work like walking, doing exercise, doing some kind of, creating some kind of routine that gives you a peace of mind and gets that anxiety out. Is absolutely critical.
Can I ask you a question? How many people do you come across in your business that have performance anxiety? Whether it's like on a large scale or small scale of sorts.
That's a tricky question. And the reason why I say that is you can be looking at the most confident person on stage. But if you talk to them behind the scene, everybody has some kind of an insecurity. Everybody has some sort of a doubt. Everybody has that self-talking voice that brings them down and is very critical and judgmental. So if you're looking behind the curtain, I'd say it's 100% of us, and I'd include myself in it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that, what we've noticed about, if we talk about anxiety, how we like to break it down is we break it down into energy, basically, because, you know, excitement about getting on stage and being anxious about getting on stage is exactly the same physiological thing in the body. So, you know, what we tend to label things as being, scary or too overwhelming can often just be, managed. And we've seen this a lot, can be managed by changing the state of the energy or being able to wrangle the energy in such a way. We've used the breathing to do this a lot, where we will bring our breathing up to the speed at which our mind is going at before we're about to perform or before we're about to go on stage or give a presentation. And then in being able to bring it up to that really fast pace, you can then use the breath to start to wind it back down very slowly till you come down into maybe a state where you can start to have a little bit of space to be able to go, okay, what am I feeling here? Like, is it excitement, or am I really feeling the fear and things like that? And I think it gives you a little bit more space to observe what is actually going on.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful practice.
Now, I'd like to ask you also, because I want to bring us back to Bali, because we had
magical world.
We had so many magical conversations over the 4 days of Awesomeness Fest, and you shared your experience, and I wanted to express gratitude about how you shared your experience about you seem to have had a shift in your own personal energy. And I wanted to ask you, let's talk about that. What was your experience and what did you learn from your sessions?
For me, it was a very physically intense experience. Mm. I felt tightness, I felt pain in a lot of different areas throughout my body. And throughout the sessions, they became less and less and they released. Mm. And I think I started feeling the impact of it and feeling more aligned. I think we were talking about this is with the cycles, right? With the moon cycles and kind of feeling that I'm now in this circadian rhythm, and waking up at 5:30 for the sunrise didn't feel so crazy because my body would just wake up and I didn't feel tired during the day, even though this was a very intense, emotionally, intellectually, just very stimulated conference. And I had the energy to carry me through the day and then into the parties at night. So that was an additional bonus that I did not expect. But just having access to that amount of energy was extraordinary, and how easy it was. Mm. I didn't have to do it that many times. I didn't have to strain myself to get there.
Brilliant. And how is that carried over going home in now? So now that you're home, it's been quite a few months. You know, how is that carried over into your daily practice? What's changed?
So I've been doing breath work probably 2 to 3 times in the mornings a week. Mm. And I combined it with walking. Mm. It's my way of seeing the sunrise, getting my steps in, breathing through. And I'm using the 30-minute audio that you've put together. Mm. Which is phenomenal. I love the music. I like the rhythm. I actually find myself walking with the rhythm. Mm. So it just kind of feels like my whole body is flowing. And yes, catching the rays, you know, it's it just gives you that boost of energy.
Mm. Do you feel like you're adding any more time or effort into it? Or do you feel it's just like one or two things that's made a big difference?
I definitely notice when I don't do it for too many days. The body starts getting heavier. The energy levels drop. I think that's the piece that I notice more than when I'm doing it a lot.
Yeah.
When you're doing it a lot, everything's great. Everything flows. Everything's happy. And there's,
you know. I'm glad you brought that up because that is a slight trap that we've seen people fall into. It is that when you boost your energy and it becomes the norm, you sometimes have a tendency to just to go, oh, well, I won't do it. And then you notice it when you don't do it. But you hit on something important, which I really want to bring up. And it's a really, for me, it's a real strong mandate in me is that when you do these things, you have to enjoy it. You have to combine it into things that you already enjoy doing. And this is, you know, a big part of what I do is I move my practices from being something that you do that you have to be disciplined about across to being devoted to doing them. Because I love them so much, and I get such joy from it. So to hear that you combined it with something that, and I know you and I spoke about it. I know you told me you love going for a walk in the morning. And interestingly enough, I've read several articles on the walking movement actually loosens up the body because it gives you this symmetrical motion, and combining that with the breathing and getting out in the sun, it just, you know, for me, it's I really love the fact that you've put that all together and this is what you love to do, because it's such a simple practice that gives you so much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And technical note, I find it harder to do the square breathing and to be holding on the exhale when I'm walking.
Yeah. Well, you know,
so sometimes I have to literally either count quick through it or literally stop for that portion of.
Yeah. Well, there's some breathing techniques.
That's good
yeah, there are some breathing techniques that are probably best done sitting or lying, and then there's some that really go in time. And as you pointed out there, what is super important is rhythm. Rhythm with your breathing, rhythm with the walking, rhythm is super important. So if you are doing a movement-based exercise that has rhythm, then it is best, in our opinion, with breathing, it is best to do something that flows in with that rhythm. And, you know, the box breathing or the square breathing has that hold in it, so it's going to break that rhythm. So I get it.
That's perfect. And it's in fact, that's, if we were to, we've talked about this before on other sessions that we've done, where if we were to say do one thing in the morning, it'd be go for a walk in the morning, 100%. Sunrise and breathe.
what you just described, and look, I you know, people know my background. I trained special forces soldiers. I've done everything physical. You know, you name it, I've studied it or done it when it comes to physical movement. And in researching and narrowing it down and going, okay, what are the best movements that you could do? One of the things that came up was, you know, move in all three directions, you know, front, back, side to side, twisting and turning. But ultimately, what they said, that the thing that you can do that is probably the best for your body with the least amount of heavy load on it is walking. It's just walking and breathing. And, you know, obviously they suggested that you do this on the beach, because you also get that grounding, that discharge of energy that happens between you and the earth when you've got bare feet on the ground. So, you know, walking and breathing in the sunlight is probably the ultimate thing that you can do. Beyond that, you know, if you're getting ready for a marathon or you want to do certain other training, of course, you'll follow something else. But if you want general maintenance for your health, and I will add, this is probably really more relevant for people that are over 30. And the reason I say that is because once you get over 30, you need to change the way that you move and the way that you do exercise, because your body just won't handle it because of the hormone, because what the changes in the hormonal system and things that happen when you get beyond 30. And I know for us, most of our clients that we have are beyond that age group. So I love that you've brought up that just your thing is walking in the sun and doing the breathing, because it's a super important practice.
I do love it when I can escape to a beach and do it on the beach. That's my ultimate. It definitely makes a difference, because again, I combine it. I will do the walk, then I'll sit and breathe, or I'll walk and breathe, and then I'll sit on the sand and I'll meditate, and then I'll journal, you know, and there's just something very calming about the water. And, you know, if you see a sea turtle swimming in there as well, I mean, that's just magical. Or dolphins, that's just, you know, for me at least.
Yeah.
I'm getting chills.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, look, to be honest, and this is a guy's perspective, it doesn't matter when you witness something in nature and you're tuned to it, or you're in that state, that meditative state, it is wondrous.
Yeah.
And it does give you a really felt sense of connection when you have that. And that's important, you know, in, like you described before, in the world where, you know, your phone's dinging at you, you know, you've got this to do, you've got that to do, you've got bills to pay, you know, having some quiet time to reconnect in with nature is probably one of the most leveraged things that you can do for your health.
And probably helps out with that focus.
For me and for my clients. Well, I feel that at least that's my approach to coaching, that I have to create space for my clients, and I need to clear out as much of my own resistance, as much of my own baggage as I can, to hold that space with the most compassion, with the most energy, and just be able to be there for them, whatever it is that they need. So yeah. I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing it so that I can be a better tool for other people.
Yeah.
Right.
And we want to ask, so one thing that we ask everybody when we're doing our interviews, and that is, what are the three habits, or what are the three things that move the needle the most for you? I know you've probably already talked about the walking and breathing and mm-hmm. but what would be some of the other ones that you know really move the needle for you?
The other one I mentioned is journaling.
Mm-hmm.
I've been journaling since high school. And I now buy 500-page journals, and I go through about one of them a year. So I get a lot of things out of my head, out of my system, on paper. And it works for me, and I write cursive. I'm actually, for New Year's, I started doing a couple of self-improvement activities. One of them was learning how to speed read, Jim Quick. I signed up for his program. And the other one was I started learning how to write with my left hand. I'm a right-handed person, but I started learning how to write with my left hand, because what that does, it actually impacts your white matter in your brain and gives you that dexterity. So that's neither here nor there, but ultimate destination with journaling and being able to write with two hands, as I was told, there's a gentleman who can write in cursive. He does it with left hand on the left side of the journal and right hand on the right hand of the right side of the journal. So I want to get to that level.
Wow.
In my journal with both hands.
Wow.
I've never heard that as a goal ever. Awesome.
I've tried the left hand toothbrushing, and that for me has been quite a challenge.
Standing on one foot.
Yeah, it makes me really think.
Yep. I've been doing that for over a year now as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's just incorporating your left hand into a lot of the activities.
That's interesting that you bring that up, Vera. During my personal training days, one of my prescriptions to all of my clients was that they spend at least 1 to 2 weeks training their left side three times as much as their right side, or their opposite dominant side. Most people that I came across were right-handed. There was, lefties are sort of a few and far between, I think, on the scale of things, but yeah, definitely getting people to do that. So it's interesting, and you're right. There is a lot of it's like a kinesthetic type of action that helps out with the brain. So it's really, really interesting. Now, the final question that we want to ask before we wrap up is, what gets you out of bed in the morning? Like, what juices you? What's the thing that gets you up out of bed that drives you?
Keeps you going.
You want the honest answer?
Yeah.
Some days it's nothing. I'm a Gemini, so I'll answer from that perspective, multiple personalities and all. It really depends. Some days I'm just excited to go for my walk and get my shot of sun. Some days it's my Pilates class. Some day it's I know I'm going to be working with a client that I really enjoy and help them move forward. Some days it's events. So for me, it's always a different thing, but it's also being able to tune in and see what my body needs. Right. I mean, that's super important.
Awesome.
I love that. That's a really great step that I think most people miss is, what does your body need? What do you need today? I love that. Thank you.
And more importantly is being accepting of it. Because some days I wake up and my body's just, it's not there. it's overwhelmed. There's some strange pains, I'm over 30. So, and it's having that sense of compassion with yourself to say, you know what? It's okay if I don't do 8-mile walk today. I'll be okay with two. Or, you know, it might be okay if I take an easier class, or it might be okay if I'm vulnerable with my client and just let them know that I'm having a rough day. Mm-hmm. So it's having that sense of compassion. And I know we talked a lot about compassion in Bali because it was just such a prominent energy there. Mm-hmm. But when you have abundance of compassion, that compassion has to come to yourself as much as mm-hmm. go out into the world. Mm-hmm. So being compassionate with yourself, I think, is a mm-hmm. very important piece.
Well, I that is
and a practice.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
That's a beautiful parting thoughts, Vera. Thank yeah. you very
now,
much.
Now, Vera, you're in Florida?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And okay, and great. So if people want to get in contact with you, how do they get in contact with you?
So my website is globalelementsconsulting.com. Mm-hmm. My email is vera@globalelementsconsulting.com. Mm-hmm. So they can always reach out. They can find me on LinkedIn as well, Vera Anderson. Mm-hmm. And if you type in Tampa, Florida, you will definitely find me.
Awesome. Awesome.
So right, we'll put that in the
yeah,
show
we'll
notes.
Make sure we include that in the show notes. So
great. Well, thank you for taking time. I know it's the nighttime there, so thank you for setting aside some time.
Absolutely.
And to share.
I really enjoyed it. Thank
great.
You so
thank
much.
You.
Really good to see you too. Yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Breathing Edge podcast with us. For show notes and other resources, please visit breathingedgepodcast.com. While you're there, you can subscribe for future episodes so you can continue your own journey towards peak performance. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Breathing Edge is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network. Disclaimer: the only purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. It is no substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. Instead, we encourage you to discuss your options with a healthcare provider. Guests who speak in this podcast express their own opinions, experience, and conclusions, and neither O2 Collective Propriety Limited nor any company providing financial support endorses or opposes any particular opinions discussed in this podcast. This podcast is available for private, non-commercial use only. Advertising, which is incorporated into, placed in association with, or targeted towards the content of this podcast, is forbidden. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast. O2 Collective Propriety Limited assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with this podcast or for your use of this podcast in connection with your website, computer, or playing device.